Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavallava Girivaradari. Gopi Janavallava Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Hari Rajagacharya Ashto Tadashata Shri Srimat His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naran Chaiva Narotamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasan Tato Jayam Udiraye Nasupraya Shudabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text Number 6. Chapter is entitled Description of the Kingdom of God. Text Number 5. Namo Vijnanam Viraya Maya Yedam Upeyuse Grihita Guna Bedhyaya Namaste Vyakta Yonaye Yonaye Namo Vijnanam Viraya Maya yedam upeyuse Grihita guna bedaya Namaste vyakta yonaye Namo vijnana viraya Maya yedam upeyuse Grihita guna bedhyaya Namaste vyakta yonaye Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Vijnana Viraya. O original source of strength and scientific knowledge. Mayaya. By the external energy. Idam. This body of Brahma. upeyuse, having obtained, grihita, accepting, gunabedaya, the differentiated mode of passion, namahate, offering obeisances unto you, avyakta, unmanifested, yonaye. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O original source of strength and scientific knowledge, all obeisances unto you. You have accepted the differentiated mode of passion from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With the help of external energy, you are born of the unmanifested source. All obeisances unto you. Purport. The Vedas are the original scientific knowledge for all departments of understanding. And this knowledge of the Vedas was first impregnated into the heart of Brahma by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Brahma is the original source of all scientific knowledge. He is born directly from the transcendental body of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who is never seen by any creature of this material universe and therefore always remains unmanifested. Brahma is stated here to be born of the unmanifested. He is the incarnation of the mode of passion and material nature, which is the separated external energy of the Supreme Lord. Om Agyanatimidandasya Gyananjana Shalakoya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svam Vedantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschyachade Shatarine Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gorda Twisse Namaha Vancha Kalpatarum Vishya Kripa Sindhu Vaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Durga me pade menantasya sakalat paragater mahur svakripa yasti danena santa sanfavalambanam. Namo vijnana viraya maye damupeyuse krihita guna pejaya namaste vyakta yonaye. In the Tattva Sandarbha of Srila Jiva Goswami, he explains the exalted nature of why Shastra is the ultimate source of information. And generally speaking, Srila Prabhupada explains in his introduction to the Sri Aurobindo Upanishad that pramanam means an axiom. In order for knowledge to be scientific, you have to have an axiom that you rest that knowledge upon. If you don't have an axiom, in debate or in any field of knowledge, you'll enter into a logical fallacy called infinite regress. So for any information to become valid and any information to really have any type of standing, one has to have an axiom that that knowledge rests on, and contradictions that may arise within the course of gathering that knowledge is reconciled through the medium of that axiom. So of the 10 pramanams, or the 10 axioms that the Vedic literature prescribes as being bona fide, 7 of them are dependent on 2 processes, which is known as pratyaksha and anuman. Pratyaksha means direct experience, and anuman means interpretation. And Jiva Goswami, in the introduction to the Tattvasandarbha, systematically picks apart why pratyaksha and anuman are not a valid form of information. It's not an absolute source of knowledge. And because he rejects pratyaksha and anuman, he indirectly rejects all other 7 processes of receiving information. It's not that there's not validity to them, but all of those ways of gathering knowledge, all those axioms have to be understood in relationship to one thing, and that's Shastra. When he's describing the incomplete nature of pratyaksha, he rests it on the basis of 4 defects that the living entity has. So the first defect is yaya samohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manite nartham tatkricham chabi padyate, that although the living entity is transcendental to this material body, due to the influence of the external energy, it falls under the control of the modes of material nature and considers itself to be a material product. So this particular defect of the living entity is what's known as brahmanam, which means confusion. This means that although we are eternal spiritual beings, and although we have a transcendental nature which is different from this material body, we become confused within the bodily conception of life. We identify with this body, and this false identification with the material body is very confusing for the living entity, because the living entity's nature is that of eternality. Mama ishvam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the nature of the living entity is eternal. So that eternal nature is imposed upon a temporary circumstance, and the living entity becomes confused within that circumstance. So, for instance, people struggle to make an old body look young. People struggle to make a sick body become healthy. Millionaires, a few years ago, I remember I read an article about various millionaires throughout the world, billionaires throughout the world, who have invested tons and tons of money for trying to scientifically figure out how we can live forever within this material body. So this inclination towards eternality comes from our spiritual nature. But when that eternal spiritual nature is imposed upon our temporary material body, we fall under the defect of brahmana, which is confusion. So this tendency is very destructive for the living entity, because it means that they're constantly existing within a state of illusion. There is an illusory conception of life, that I am this material body. And then one begins to, on the basis of that knowledge that I am the material body, one begins to organize their life around that principle. So one makes decisions which are contrary to who they actually are as a spiritual personality. The next defect that Jiva Goswami mentions is known as pramada, or which means inattentiveness. This means that our mind has a tendency to be distant from the things that our senses are engaged in. For instance, people may come to a Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'm sure no one's doing this. The body's here, the senses are there, but the mind is somewhere else. The mind is in the prasadam hall. The mind is in wherever other thing it could be in. And it's, although the senses are physically present, the mind is not present. So due to our mind not being present in the sensory activities that our senses are engaged in, we fall victim to making mistakes. It's just like a child who goes to school. And the whole time when he's in school, he doesn't pay attention to what his teacher is saying, although physically present. He's thinking about, you know, the girl sitting next to him. He's thinking about, you know, riding his bike when he gets out of school. He thinks about so many things that have nothing to do with what the teacher is actually speaking about. So when he comes to take the test, the result is that he makes mistakes on the test. So this pramada is inattentiveness, and the byproduct of that is that we have a propensity to make mistakes due to that inattentiveness. So the next one is viparlipsa, which means a cheating propensity. When one tries to convince others of their mistakes and their illusions to be true, this is a propensity to want to cheat others. And finally, the root of all of these imperfections is karnapatava, which is imperfect senses. Our eyes can only see so much, a certain distance. I remember a few years ago when I was serving in Atlanta, distributing books there during COVID. Every morning we would recite shlokas, and we would play it on a TV screen. And I would never be able to see the screen, and everyone else would be able to see it. And I thought it was the TV screen, and that maybe it was just like I wasn't able to perceive it. But months were going on, and I was never able to actually read the shlokas on the screen. So then my dear friend and one of my favorite devotees to look up to, Mahotsav Prabhu, Mahotsaha Prabhu, he handed me his glasses in the middle of the shloka drill once, and he told me to put them on. So I put on his glasses, and I could see everything clearly. So the senses are imperfect. You can't see from a long distance unless the sun is present. We're not able to see in the darkness unless there's the presence of a light bulb. So our senses are not able to perceive that which is even materially conceivable. What to speak of that which is spiritually conceivable. So they're incapable of collecting information of the absolute truth. So due to our senses being imperfect, we're not actually able to make proper inference into circumstances which are beyond us. The common example that's given is smoke on the mountain, and it could actually be fog. So because our senses are inherently imperfect, then we're not actually able to make perfect inference either. So this is how Jiva Goswami systematically deconstructs pratyaksha and anuman as being invalid forms of gathering knowledge if they're done independently of shastra. If they're done in relationship to shastra, they're a valid source of bringing in information. So then Jiva Goswami, he goes on to explain that shastra pramana is the only reliant source of information. It's the only reliant way of actually bringing in, acquiring knowledge. And this is because sabda pramanam, or knowledge which is on the basis of transcendental sound vibration, which has been recorded in the Vedic literatures, it's independent. Pratyaksha is dependent, anuman is dependent, but sabda pramanam is completely independent. So in the history of human society, there's always been a constant search for wanting to understand the truth, wanting to ascertain the truth, and wanting to realize the truth within oneself. And the only question that really exists is, what is the proper means for going about it? So the Vedas provide that means for understanding what the truth actually is. Maya mugda jivara nahi swata krishna gyan jivare kripaya koila krishna veda puran. That Krishna, seeing that the living entity is incapable of understanding the absolute truth independently, makes himself available to the living entity in the form of shastra. Maya mugda jivara nahi swata krishna gyan. Jivare kripaya koila krishna veda puran. Out of mercy for the living entity, Krishna manifests himself in the form of the Vedas and the Puranas. Vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. Krishna is non-different from the Vedas. And so because this knowledge is inherently complete, because it's perfect knowledge, within the very definition of completeness in perfection, would also indicate that that knowledge is conscious. Om Purnam Adam Purnam Idam Purnasya Purnam Eva Vishishyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishyate. That knowledge, Krishna, the absolute truth, is complete in itself. So anything that's existing within and beyond our experience is also present in Krishna, and therefore also present within the Vedic literature. So this indicates that the Vedic literature is actually conscious. It's a conscious form of information, whereas other information which you may find within this world is an unconscious form of knowledge. It's reliant on a conscious being perceiving it, whereas Vedic wisdom is conscious of its own accord. So this means that this knowledge has the ability to reveal itself to us or hide itself from us. Savasyachaham rachisani vishno matatspriti argyanam apodanamcha. That this knowledge can either be revealed or hidden according to our own attitude. So this is why Lord Brahma is being glorified throughout the Vedas, and this is why we're coming in the disciplic succession of Lord Brahma. Because tene brahma hridaya adikavye, this exalted form of Shabda Pramanam has been revealed within the heart of Lord Brahma. And the depth of Lord Brahma's realization is revealed within the Brahma Samhita. So what allowed Lord Brahma to access this knowledge was his sincerity of practice. He was in a state of confusion, and in his state of confusion, he was searching throughout the entire universe, trying to come to a conclusion as to what he was supposed to do. And after a long search, an unembodied voice vibrated a sound, tapa. And so Lord Brahma developed some direction, and then he sincerely applied that instruction. Tapa means austerity. He began to engage in austerity, and by engaging in that austerity, Krishna reciprocated by revealing to him the information he needed in order to construct the universe, and simultaneously he revealed to him knowledge of the transcendental world. Chintamani prakadasadma sukalpa vriksha. The entire realm of Goloka Vrindavan was revealed within the heart of Brahmaji, and the Gayatri Mantra was also revealed to Lord Brahma. So this is the exalted position of Lord Brahma, is that due to his sincerity of practice, Krishna arranged for him to have this knowledge revealed within his heart. Krishna chose to bestow this knowledge upon him. And this is how Shabda Pramanam works. Nayatma pravicha yena labhyo namedya na bahu nashrutena. Yameva sa vinutena labhyast taisyasya atma vi vinute tanusvam. That not through speaking elaborately, not through an intent, not through good intelligence, and not through even hearing volumes and volumes of information, can one come to ascertain what the absolute truth is. That absolute truth is only revealed to who that absolute truth chooses to reveal itself to. So there's many people throughout the world who've studied the Vedas elaborately. They're known as Trivedis. But what we're learning from Lord Brahma is that unless one comes to a particular conclusion within that study of Shastra, that study of Shastra can actually bewilder the mind of the living entity. And we see this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the pastime of Tapanamistra. Tapanamistra approaches Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he had studied so many literatures and he had heard so many things. And Kaviraj Goswami says, Bahu Shastre Bahu Vakye Chitta Brahmahoy Sadhana Sadhya Shrestana Hoya Nishchai. That one could hear volumes of Shastra. One could hear volumes of people speak on Shastra. But if one hears from so many different sources and one isn't able to ascertain the absolute truth, then their mind can just become bewildered as to what the practice is and what the goal is. So he approaches Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu simply instructs him to chant Hare Krishna. So this is the whole point of the Shastra. Vedantakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham. That in the course of studying Shastra, if one is not able to come to the conclusion of understanding who Krishna is as a transcendental personality, then their study of Shastra can simply lead to confusion. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary on the verse Vedeshu Durlaba Adurlama Atma Bhakto, he explains that Vedic sound has its origin, Vedic information has its origin in sound, and sound has its origin in ether. So in and of itself, Vedic sound isn't enough. But when that Vedic sound is coupled with the Chit Shakti, and simultaneously coupled with the Haladini Shakti, then that knowledge can reveal Goloka Vrindavan to the living entity. So one can only understand the Vedas if they're hearing from the proper source. Because by hearing through the proper source, one is endowed with a mood of bhakti. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Only if one has come across someone who has actually realized the import of the Vedic information within themselves, and that realization is imparted onto the living entity, can one actually understand the conclusion of the Vedas. And this is explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavan yaschasmi tatvataha. Tato mam tatvato gyanfa vishate taranantaram. That Krishna reveals himself only to those who have bhakti. And that simply by studying the Vedas alone is not enough for us to come to the ultimate conclusion. And if one has the right mood of approaching the Vedas, if one has this mood of bhakti, if one has this mood of submissive devotion, then this knowledge can be revealed to anyone, whether they're literate or illiterate. An example of this is specifically found in the case of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and simultaneously it's found in a story in the pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was staying in Mayapur, and a learned scholar came to visit Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because he was very impressed by the level of information and the level of realization that his sannyasi preachers had when he met them. So he said, I want to become learned like them. What's the process for doing that? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there's a devotee out in the mutt who's doing some service. His name is Gopal. You go find him and he'll tell you. So he went around the mutt and he kept asking different people, where is Gopal? And eventually, one person led to another, and a person finally pointed out into the field of the Gaudiya Math, and there was a farmer out in the field. He said, that's Gopal, go speak with him. So he kind of became a bit confused. He said, okay, maybe Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is trying to teach me something. So he went back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, I'm not quite understanding the purpose of your instruction. You know, it's just a farmer in a field. He said, did you speak with him? And he said, no. He said, go speak with him. So he went and spoke with Gopal, and then he began asking him the same questions he was asking Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Gopal began to speak the entire Gaudiya Vedanta conclusion just right there in the field. And this man was completely perplexed because this person just looked like a simple Bengali farmer. He said, how did you receive all this information? And he quotes this verse, Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Graham Indriyai Sevan Mukehi Jivadao Swayam Esbra Sparatyadao. That Krishna has revealed himself, and due to the mercy of my spiritual master, I simply sit and I hear from my spiritual master with faith, and by hearing from him, all this information has been revealed because he had the right attitude. So actually, the realization of Lord Brahma, the realization that we hear about from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time with Gopal, all of this realization is actually available to us. And that's the whole purpose of taking initiation within the parampara. It's for that realization to be imparted to us. The only thing that we have to adjust is our attitude towards that knowledge. And Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the attitude that one has to have is an attitude of submission. That was what will allow that knowledge to be revealed, and that's what will allow that knowledge to actually change the course of a person's life. Otherwise, if one's just simply coming in a mood of trying to collect information, then no transformation will take place, and therefore their study of Shastra will simply, the only fruit that they will have is the endeavor itself, rather than there being any practical gain. So we should always remember that in the course of our practice of Krishna consciousness, that we have to organize a life in such a way that we are creating space for revelation to take place. And this takes place specifically by coming together in the association of devotees and hearing and chanting the name and fame of Krishna. Machita makata pranas bodayantas parasparam katayantas chamam nitya nikta yukta tushtanti cha ramanticha. That coming together in the association of devotees, it gives life to the devotees themselves. And then Krishna goes on to explain that being in that association, tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam, dinami buddhi yogam tam yenam amupa yantite. Krishna will give revelation from within the heart as to how one can perform devotional service in such a way that they can attain Krishna. And that despite the fact they may study so many shastras, they'll come to the ultimate purpose of the shastra, which is smartvayam satata krishna, satatam smartvayam satata vishnur vi smartayo najatuchit sarvavidi nasetasur etayor eva kinkara. That the purpose of all the Vedas is simply to always remember Krishna and to never forget him. And this is the purpose of all the vidis and all the rules and regulations, is to simply come to this conclusion of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. So this is the lesson that we're learning from Lord Brahma, is that if we have a sincerity of practice and we surround ourselves in good association, then this revelation is available to us and we're able to pass that revelation on to the world. Hare Krishna. So it's 8:30. We can maybe have a little bit of a discussion, maybe like one or two questions. I think Shyamachandra and then Bhakti Kier.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. A very nice class. Thank you very much. So my question is that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but when Lord Brahma, when he was confused, what is he looking for? Is he looking for material knowledge? Because there are two knowledges, right? One is material knowledge, other is spiritual knowledge. And if he's trying to create the universe, all he needed was just a material knowledge. So then what is the need for the Lord also to, you know, instill the spiritual knowledge? Does it mean that for even for the material universe to be successful, does it require the spiritual knowledge also? Or the material knowledge itself is alone for an endeavor to be successful?
So Krishna explains what knowledge is in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Jnanam teham savigyanam idam vakshma shisheshataha yagyan va neha byunod yag gyan vayam avishishate. So Krishna makes the point in the Bhagavad Gita that all nominal and numinous knowledge is revealed. So generally our conception of knowledge within a materialistic society is only functioning on the basis of what can I do for my own sense gratification. Whereas Vedic knowledge takes into consideration that in order for material knowledge to be applied properly, there needs to be the foundation of spiritual realization. Otherwise, we see, like we were saying, there's so many different Vedic shastras which talk about so many different things. And many people use those sources of knowledge for, you know, making a business or for pushing forward some particular ideology like Ayurveda or astrology. All these things are used separately from the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so because they're used separately from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then they're not able to actually solve the actual problem of the living entity. If that knowledge is realized in relationship to Vedantakrit Veda Vedeva Chaham, then it's actual knowledge. But if knowledge is simply functioning for the sake of knowledge and not for the sake of realization of Krishna, then it's actually considered ignorance. So this is this, that within the Vedic conception is that if knowledge is revealed, it's all knowledge which is material and spiritual. Because you can't actually guide material knowledge properly unless you have spiritual realization. Bhakti Kier.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the class. It was really wonderful. Could you explain a little more how, in relation to Shastra, our imperfect senses are a valid way of gathering knowledge?
Well, because if you're studying Shastra and you're simultaneously hearing from someone who's realized Shastra, those senses can be engaged for the purpose of engaging in the process of devotional service. So if it's connected to the right source, like this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a process which was previously infectious can become therapeutic if it's connected to the right and for the right means. So although the senses may be imperfect, if they're engaged for the purpose of developing knowledge of Krishna, then they become a valid way of collecting information. The thing is that one can't come to the end of understanding Krishna, but through bhakti, Krishna can reveal themselves. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. This is explained in the prayers of the personified Vedas, that you can't come to the end of knowledge, but that knowledge was revealed according to the devotion of the practitioner. So this was a question that was asked by Maharaj Pariksit. How can we describe with our imperfect senses that which is infallible, that which is beyond the senses? And the personified Vedas explain that it's because through revelation, those imperfect senses can be engaged for describing that which is inconceivable.
And you said, can I ask a little more?
I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
So you said like connected to the right source, and if that right source is presented improperly, if you don't have the person Bhagavat, can we really connect to it? Can you explain like the relationship between person Bhagavat and like book Bhagavat?
Yasya Devi Parabhakir Yata Devi Tatagaru.
That through having faith in the spiritual master and by having faith in Krishna, all Vedic imports are revealed. So one may go studying the Shastra, but unless one is connected with the Bhagavat, whose entire life is Krishna, Krishna is bound within their heart with the rope of love, then although one may go on studying Shastra, one won't be able to come to this conclusion that the ultimate goal of life is Vedantakrit Veda Vedeva Chaham, that Krishna is to be known through the Vedas. So the Bhagavat reveals Krishna within the Vedas. That's the point, is that there's many people that even hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amala Purana, but they're not able to come to the conclusion that Krishna is the only thing worth living for and worth serving. That can only be given by the person Bhagavat. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhangyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij. If one receives the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of the spiritual master, then the seed of bhakti is implanted within the heart, and that gives one the ability to actually understand the Vedas.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Just one quick question. What must a devotee do to receive or to get from Krishna the realization and blissful experience that those who are very advanced do receive? In other words, what is lacking that we don't have it, and what should we have in order to have it?
Mm. So in the Shiksha Ashtakam, there's two verses which I'm thinking of in relationship to your question. There's Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatra Pitani Amitas Marane Nakalaha Yatajasi Tavakripam Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Mindrasanihan Janinan Uragaha. So in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying the magnificent power of Krishna's holy name. But because he's overcome by material illusion, he's not able to appreciate those names. And the verse that comes directly after that is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So the only way that the holy name can reveal itself to the living entity, the only way the Vedas will reveal itself to the living entity, is through this mood of humility. And Krishna also explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. Through the mood of humility. And Krishna also explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. Is that okay?
I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't realized all these wonderful things you're talking about. So I'm hoping that the day will come that I will, and then I will say, yes, it's okay. Right now, I'm still an ignoramus. Sorry about that.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We can speak after class, Prima. Thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Vancha Kalpatrum Bhishya Kripasan Nudevicha Patitanam Pavan Yuvishna Baby. Dandeni Chaya Chanakam Pariyonipa. Yeah, I got it.